Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
I want to ask you a question. I have a message from the Lord for you. I'm excited. What does love look like on you? What does love look like on you? When Pam and I were first married, the first time I ever went shopping with her, because she said, I need a dress. I don't have anything to wear. Has anybody ever heard that? So we're just married, and so I'm going dress shopping with my wife. And I don't know, you guys probably know this, but in the next to the dressing room where the women go in and try on a lot of dresses, there's a chair for old men. Now, keep in mind, I was 19, 20 years old, so I'm learning there's a chair for old men. What do you need a chair for? She's just trying on a dress. It's only going to take a minute. So eventually, I go over, and I sit down in the old man chair, and I don't know if you guys noticed, but when you sit in the old man chair next to the dressing room, if you're quiet, you can actually hear the aging clock. If you pay attention to your body, after a while, you notice your back starts to slump over, your head starts to go down to the floor. And I knew then, I said, I got to do something because I'm 19. I feel like I'm 40 right now. So I came up with a plan. The next time we went dress shopping, I already had this plan. It was a great plan. And the plan was this. The first dress she tries on, wow! That's it? That is beautiful. That is perfect. And she said, okay, go hold on. I'm going to go try on some more. No. You don't need to. This is it. I mean, I know this is it. Now, keep in mind, that only works one time, gentlemen. Save it for when you really need it. After one time, women are smarter than guys. They know. They catch on. That only worked one time. You don't have to say a thing.
I do.
No, you don't.
I'm just going to tell you how he would shop with me.
I knew you were going to do this.
I'm walking through the store, and I'm looking through clothes, and I hear a little further down. It was horrible. I hated it. I said, please don't come shopping with me. Please. I can't hear the huffing and the puffing while I'm shopping. I'm sorry.
I meant to hide the microphone before. I knew she was going to do that. So anyway, so that worked for the one time. You know, in shopping, I don't know if you know this, women are butterflies. Go over here. Men are sharks. Go in it for the kill, get out. How many of you can relate? Praise God. So, that was a good experience for me. And I just knew that I really wasn't cut out for shopping, unless it's tools or something, you know. So, not long ago, Pam showed me a picture of myself. We went to a wedding and had a good time and all that. And this picture she showed me, she pulled it up and she said, now this is how I like to see you. And I looked at the picture and I could tell, I was relaxed. Wasn't burdened about anything. I could see a difference on my countenance, on my face. And The point is, she pointed something out to me. Like, you know, when you put on a nice dress, it makes you look good. You know what makes you look good and what doesn't make you look good. You know what color goes for you and what doesn't go for you. In the same way, there is a look about us that people can pick up on. When we are carrying and living in the love of God, they just notice it. And I noticed that just like when Pam puts on a pretty dress, it's just right for her, that really makes her stand out. I noticed that in me, when the love of God is really on me, you can see it. I mean, if you know me, like my wife knows me and dear friends that are close, they know, you can tell a difference. Just like you can tell when someone's burdened or they're depressed, or sometimes without saying a word, you pick up on things. And so I asked myself a question. What does love look like on me? When she looked at this picture and she said, this is what I want you to look like. This is how I want you to be. She was talking about me being unburdened, unhurried, happy-go-lucky, fun time, funny guy, just enjoying life, not burdened about anything, not worried about anything, just enjoying life, relaxed. When love is being expressed, God Himself being expressed through my life, I'm unburdened. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not in a hurry. I'm happier. I'm fun to be around. I joke more. I'm very generous. I'm very bold in my witness. When love is being, I have no fear. I have no fear. And it's my best, it's the best me that I can be. When love is being manifested, that's what love looks like on me. I know it. I can tell the difference. I can tell when I'm really in walking in love and when I'm not. I can tell. And my wife can tell. And those close to me can tell me too, because I'm at my best. Life is better. Amen. It's what it's supposed to be, because love is God, and God is Himself expressing His life through me. Doesn't have to be through preaching. Just living, enjoying the moment, wherever I am. There's a wonderful difference. And so I know what love looks like on me. But I want you to know, what does love look like on you? That's what we're talking about today. Last week I shared something with you that's important. The more I know God, the more I love Him. This is what I've discovered. The more I know Him, the more I trust Him. And the more I trust Him, the more relaxed I am. That's a simple thing. I don't know why I didn't know this 30 years ago. Maybe I did. Maybe I just didn't pay attention. But I know that the closer I am to God in my relationship, in my intimacy, moment by moment, man, what a joy. It's not a job. It's a joy. And this is what God intends for all of us to enjoy. So I want you to ask yourself the question. Take this question home with you. And take this question, keep it before you this week. I pray the Holy Spirit will remind you of this question. What does love look like on you? If you have a spouse, you need to ask them. When I'm at my best, when I am really living life as an expression of the love of God, tell me, what does it look like? What do you see a difference in me? And if they're honest, they'll show you and tell you. And if you don't have a spouse, ask your best friend. Ask somebody who knows you well. Ask your child, whatever. Somebody who knows you well. When I'm at my best, what's the difference do you notice? When I'm really walking in the Spirit, when I'm living in the love of God, what is it? How does it look different than some of my normal parts of my life, other normal parts of my life? You might be surprised. Jesus said in John 13, 34, 35, He gave a commandment before He left the earth. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And by this, all men will know that you are my disciples. If you are expressing the love of God, the life of God to one another. That's why we're here. I don't care if you're cooking, watching television, playing a game, talking to a friend. If you're God's child, you have His Spirit in you. His love is in you. And His love is to be expressed through your life. This is why you're here. Thank you for all that encouragement. You're here to express the love of God. I'm trying to express the love of God to you and what His will is for your life. But it does require some effort on your part. If you really want to live in the love of God, it's not work. It's actually yielding. You yield to His Spirit. When He wants to do something, He knows how to help you stop, slow down, or activate you. He knows how to do that. It requires that you deny yourself, because self is your enemy. Self will say, I don't want to do that, or I don't want to be seen, or I don't want to be noticed, or I don't want to do this, or I don't. Self is going to try to resist the Spirit of love, the Spirit of God in you from doing what God wants to express. So you got some tension going on inside you. It requires that you be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And the more you do this, it's like training. Your training is every day. You'll get more sensitive to the Spirit, and you'll recognize when God is nudging you to do this, leading you to do this, or something else. And so it also requires that you receive correction. God will correct you. His Spirit, but He corrects you with such love. It's not hard. Correction from God is not painful. It's actually pleasant. Don't you want to know if you're going the wrong direction? If God says, now I want you to not to do that, don't you want to hear it? It's a Spirit of love. God corrects you with such love that it's a pleasure. I welcome the correction of God. I love the correction of God. I just thank Him that He steps in and stops me from doing something. It's not His will. So you get more sensitive by that as you practice in your daily life. Every day you become more sensitive. So after a while, it's like God doesn't have to say an audible word to you. You just have a nudge in your spirit. This is what He wants you to do. And you just react to that. And that's a wonderful thing to be. I like what someone sent to me this past week, an email that gave this illustration. It requires you to dance with God. I love that. Dance with God. In a dance, and I was going to use my wife, but she just threatened me to do bodily harm to me, so I can't use her. To show you a dance, a move, a dance move. A dance requires that two people become one, and one has to surrender to the leadership of the other in order to dance with another person. And I like what they sent me in this email. I wish I'd have thought of it myself, but we need guidance from God. And you look at the word guidance. The G stands for God, and then there's a you and I, and then there's a dance. God wants to dance with you and I, but you're going to have to learn to flow with Him and trust His leadership. When He wants you to move this way, He'll give you a little nudge. Like good dancers, they know the body language of one another. The man will just grab the side of the woman. She'll know that's a signal to turn this way or to move this way. They've danced long enough together. They have history together. They know one another well enough. They don't have to say, go right, go left. They just touch one another, nudge one another, just a little move. And they're so sensitive that they can receive that guidance. This is for everybody. This is for you. This isn't just for the spiritual people. No, this is what God intended your life to be like. He'll protect you from a disaster. He'll protect you from going into the ditch. He'll protect you from a lot of harm and hurt if you develop this sensitivity that learned every day is a dance with God. I'm listening, God. You have any guidance for me today? I want to dance with you throughout this whole day. I want to go where you want me to go, be where you want me to be, experience what you want me to experience, and do what you want me to do, and hear what you want me to hear. Lately, in my personal walk with the Lord, God has repeatedly said to me for about a month now, when I ask in the morning, I said, do you have any guidance for me today? And it's usually this word, I want you to listen. Hear me in everything. Look for me in everything. I'm everywhere. Look for me. Pay attention. Listen. And I'm doing that with a greater skill than I have ever done before, just learning to listen. So God wants us to have a love walk with him. He wants love to be expressed on your life so much that people look at you and say, I want what you have. What is it? And you're expressing the love of God through them. Walking in love requires us to make good, mature choices because we're learning to listen to God. Ephesians 5:2 in the Message Bible says this, walk in love like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Watch how God loves. Love like that. It's not hard. But we're a student of love. We're a student of God for all of our life, in every circumstance, in every situation. What will your life look like when God is living his life through you fully? What will your life look like? It'll look better. It'll be an adventure. You'll see God in everything. You'll be so excited about what he's showing you, what he's teaching you. In simple little daily tasks that you do, you'll pick up that God's there with you. You'll pick up that God's speaking to you. He speaks to you through creation. He speaks to you through people. He speaks to you through a movie, through a song you hear, through someone saying something, through reading the Bible. He speaks to you. You come fully alive. And right now, I believe half of the church, or the body of Christ, is half dead. Half dead. I don't mean that as a judgment. I'm just saying because they haven't learned how to recognize God is with you all the time. He never leaves you. Amen. And you're just paying attention to the natural and not seeing God in the natural try to communicate to you. And you're missing out on your life. Three major scriptures, we've been talking about the subject of the love of God since January 1. Three major scriptures I've been emphasizing, or will emphasize more. John 13, 34, and 35 is a staple. That's the commandment of love. You ought to memorize that. Second scripture we're looking at is 1 John 4:18, which says, perfect love cast out all fear. That word perfect doesn't mean perfect like where there's no flaw. It means mature. So mature love, everybody say mature love, cast out all fear. Now you may not be there yet. I'm not there yet. In some areas of my life, I still have some fear come up in me for things. And it's a process of maturing in the love of God or maturing in your relationship with God so you can be eventually like Jesus who was fearless. Jesus was fearless. He had no fear of anybody. Wasn't intimidated by the religious leaders. He had no fear even when they said, we're going to kill you. That's where we want to go. We want to get to that place where we have absolutely no fear. Mature love cast out all fear. Amen. I'm not there yet, but I want to move in that direction. And so then there's 1 Corinthians 13. That's the third scripture. This describes love. 1 John 4 defines love. It defines it. Mature love casts out all fear. 1 Corinthians 13 describes love. Now, this is what love looks like. This is how it acts. But how it looks like on you may look a little different than it looks like on somebody else, but you'll recognize it. Amen. You'll recognize it. So here's the question I want you to ask yourself today. If you're born again, if you're born of the Spirit of God, no doubt about it, you're born again, like Jesus said, am I maturing in love? How would you know? Well, I go to church every Sunday. Well, you can go to church and not mature in love one bit. You can go to church and not even be saved. That's not an indicator. It's good. It's good that you're going. But how do you know if you're maturing in love? How would you recognize it? How would anybody know that you're really growing and maturing in love? Is it something we can't measure? No, it's something we can measure. And as I read 1 Corinthians 13, which describes love, you all know it, the love chapter in the Bible, love is patient, love is kind, love bears all things, all this, you know. I came to verse 11 and my eyes popped open because I was asking God this question. How do I know if I'm maturing in love? In 1 Corinthians 13:11, God showed me this. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I acted like a child. But when I became a man, when I matured, I put away childish things. So how do you know you're maturing in love? You're putting away childish things. You're growing. You don't act childish like you used to. You don't pitch your temper tantrum like you used to pitch. You don't have a quick trigger, quick fuse, anger problem anymore. You're maturing. You're putting away this childish, immature behavior, and you're growing in the love of God. You don't have to say amen. Sometimes you got to process it. You're going. I remember I asked God personally to take away a habit I had that I knew wasn't a godly habit. I said, God, I keep struggling with this. I keep coming back and ask you to forgive me and repent. And I still do it over and over again. God, would you just take away this habit I have? And he said, no. I want you to choose to put it away. That's how you mature. I want you to put it away. By the grace of God, I find grace to put it away. It's no longer an issue. I've had many people over the years, men I'm talking about, who have come to me and confessed, I got a lust problem. I said, welcome to the human race. If you were dead, you wouldn't have one. Okay? And then as they open up and they talk about some problem, maybe addiction to some things and so forth like that, you know, and then they'll say, I want God just to God, why don't you just take this lust problem out of my mind, out of my thinking? I'm praying and he won't do it. I said, if God did that, you'd be dead. He'd have to take your brain out. You got to have a brain. He couldn't do that. He'd kill you. So he wants you to mature and put away this childish behavior that you know is not becoming of you any longer. It doesn't fit in your life any longer. Just not becoming of you. So he wants you to put it away. Will he help you? Yeah, on a day-by-day basis, a moment-by-moment basis. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, God makes a way of escape. Every temptation you and I'll ever face, God has a way of escape. Maybe not 100 ways, but maybe one way. And you get to choose if you accept it. And some of it's just common sense. You ought not be putting yourself in places just going to tempt you. So God told me, and I believe he's telling all of you today through me, I want you to make that decision for yourself. I want you to put away the childish behavior. It means you're going to have to repent. Change the way you think about it. Instead of accepting it, say, well, it's just the way I am. I can't help it. Yes, you can. God's just waiting on you to mature, grow up in love. So the question is, am I maturing? Am I maturing? As I told you before, some of you are maturing and some of you are manuring. Reach over and sniff your neighbor right now. No, don't do that. Don't do that. I'm just joking. Ask yourself some serious questions. It's not for anybody else to know. This is between you and God. Am I putting away childish immaturity on my own? Yes or no? Am I accepting responsibility for my behavior instead of blaming everybody else for the way I am? I know adults that still blame their parents, and they're 60 years old, and they're blaming their parents, and their parents aren't even here anymore for how they turned out. It's time for you to grow up. Except maybe they did a lot of wrong things. There are no perfect parents. But it's time for you to accept responsibility for your life and quit trying to blame everybody else for why you act immature. Have I quit whining about the past? And am I now moving into my future? I don't make light of this because it's a serious problem. It's hard for people. Sometimes it's an addiction. You almost get too much attention. You like getting the attention when you whine, when you cry. But you're not willing to do anything about it. You're just going to stay there. You know, you can get over depression. I know depression is a very complicated subject. It's so physical, it's emotional, it's spiritual, it's a lot of things involved. And sometimes people do need to get a little help physically because there's not enough serotonin or dopamine going on in their brain as they age, and maybe they have to take an antidepressant, and it's okay. Don't feel ashamed by that. That's the physical part. But you got to also take care of the emotional part and the mental part. You got to renew your way of thinking. You need to mature out of something. And it is Satan also taking advantage of you. Maybe you're vulnerable in that area and you're kind of prone to depression and you can just easily go there, you know. You can hear a song and it just triggers, depression. But you got to mature. Don't stay that way. It's not a curse to be on you for the rest of your life. Well, my mom had depression. My dad had depression all their life. They suffered all their life, so I guess I'm going to. No, you don't have to. There's a way of escape. God will deliver you. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but you can be free of this. The mission purpose of this church is presenting Jesus, the revelation of grace and truth that sets people free. If there were no freedom from that depression that you're dealing with, then I would be preaching a false message. Jesus can set you free from it. I don't care what your addiction is. You got to quit whining about the past. Quit dwelling on it. There's nothing you can do about it. I can't do anything about yesterday. My sins, I can't do anything but confess them and ask God to forgive me. He's already done that. I can't do anything about that. I can't do anything about tomorrow. I'm not there yet. I can only deal with right now. Amen. So I get up every day and I hear this rooster crowing from some neighbor's yard over somewhere every single morning. He's saying, it's a new day. It's a new day, and I get up, and I always remember that. I say, yes, it is. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. It's a new day, and I'm going to start the love walk over again. I didn't get it 100% maybe yesterday, or maybe I did have 100%, but today's a new day. It's a new start. Let's start over. Now let's go out and have an adventure. And we do. That's just a simple way we live this life, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. So God wants you to make a decision to mature from where you are. And the great thing about God, I know this, is that he doesn't expect perfection, but he does expect progress. Amen. We're probably never going to get perfection in all areas of our life while we're here, but we can make progress. So I'm asking you the question, are you making progress? This is a church where you ought to be making progress in your walk with God. And we're here to help you, but you got to do your part, okay? Including stay awake in church. Oh, my. No, sometimes the most healthy thing you can do is go take a nap. So preferably you do that at another time. Do you know even my failures work for my good? I can't lose if I'm honest and walk humbly with God. I can't lose. Even my failures work for my good. Jesus told Peter, on the night he betrayed me, he said, Peter, you're going to deny me, not once, twice, but three times. And Peter said, no way. And he meant it. I would never do that. I would die first. I'd give my life for you. I'm never going to do that, God. And Jesus told him he would. And of course, within less than 24 hours, he did. He did exactly what Jesus told him he would do. Here's the question. Why didn't God stop it? He had to learn. Yeah, that's a good answer. He was trusting in his own strength. Yeah. Now let me ask you a more personal question. There are things that happen in your life that you've asked God, why didn't you stop that? Do you know sometimes the most loving thing you can do as a parent is let your child fail, or your loved one fail? Let them fail. You can warn them, you can try to encourage them not to go a certain direction, but sometimes the most loving thing you can do is let them fail. If you jump in and try to fix things and not let things, you could be getting into God's way. Because how many times have you heard testimonies from people where they went through a dark time, they went through a failure, they went through a horrible time or whatever, and they'll come back and they'll say, it was the best thing that ever happened to me. Because they came to the Lord, or they came to their senses, and they changed their will. Some failures could be the best thing that could ever happen to you. I have some failures in my life. I am so thankful God didn't stop them from happening. Because I still wouldn't have learned. Don't be afraid to fall flat on your face. If you're afraid to fall flat on your face, you won't take the chances or the risk sometimes to do some things that God may be leading you to do. If you're more concerned about, I'm going to fail, I'm going to look foolish, then you won't take the risk. I heard someone say yesterday, and I heard God through them speaking to me through this, that shoot for the stars, man. And if you don't hit the stars, at least you'll hit the top of the telephone pole. That's better than down here. So don't be afraid to risk. Don't be afraid to try. Don't be afraid to fail. You can't lose with God. Even your failures, God turns them around and makes them a glorious thing. Look what Jesus did to Peter. He came back to restore him on the beach. And what did he say? Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Not like I need to, but you know I do. He says, well, then get back onto the ministry that I told you to do. Go feed my lambs, feed my sheep, tend to my sheep. Do what I told you to do. Someone sent me this week, and I said, man, I need this in my office. This is great. I wish I'd have said it. When God put a calling on your life, he already factored in your stupidity. This is the most comforting thing I've ever heard. Thank you, God. Did Jesus know that Peter was going to fail? Yes, he told him. He factored in his stupidity. He factored in, this guy doesn't have a clue. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't know. He needs to fail so he can find out. You can't trust in your resolve to not fail or your resolve not to do something. That only lasts so long. You have to have the grace of God. So I don't know. That just brought me great comfort this week. Thank you, God. You know, I can do a lot of dumb, goofy things. Do you love me? Then get back into the ministry I called you to do. Quit comparing yourself to somebody else. What did I tell you to do? Do that. That's success. Jesus' final word to Peter and the disciples, after he restored Peter, he said, get back into ministry, do what I told you to do. Final word was two words, follow me. That's the love walk. Get up. Yep, I blew it yesterday. This is a new day. I'm going to learn. I'm going to be smarter now because of what I went through. I'm going to be more cautious now because of what I went through. It's a love walk. Following Jesus is a love walk. Letting God express his life through us, wherever we are, whatever we're doing. I'm telling you, that's an adventure. Something's happened in my life since January. I can't explain it to you other than I know the joy. I'm more relaxed. Not always. I have my moments, but more relaxed. I'm just not unheard. I'm not bothered so much by what people's opinions are, their comments and all this and that. That's their opinion. God bless them. They may be right. I don't know. But I thank God that He knows me. And I want God to live His life through me. I want to love God and love His people. Let Him live His life through me, however He wants to do that, and express the love of God through my life. I notice I've been smiling more. I've been joking more. Sometimes too much. But God and I enjoy it. My wife may not always, but it's a gift of aggravation to her. It's a gift, what I tell her. It's a gift. I'm closing with this message, and altar workers, you can just come up and stand with me while I close this out. I ask God one day this week, this is so fresh, this is right now where I'm living. I ask God one day this week, do you have any guidance for me? And I'm going to tell you what He said word for word, the Spirit of God. I didn't hear an audible voice, but I listened and be still in my heart. And this is what the Lord spoke to my heart. Yes, listen for me in everything. All of life is spiritual. There is only life in the Spirit. Concentrate on being alive to God rather than dead to self. Love focuses more on being led by the Spirit than trying to avoid sin. You will find God everywhere. He's in the same marketplace as the heathen, the atheist, and the agnostic. He will put His music in their world. All of life is spiritual. God shows up in their movies and on their movie screens. He will use all people as well as His own. Learn the joy of seeing His footprints everywhere. Detect His fragrance even in the most surprising of people. It's our secret that we share. Listen, pay attention. God is always with you. Start this wonderful way of adventure. Look for signs of His presence. Pay attention. Listen, He is here. I remember when I was a little boy, my mom and dad liked country western music because they're from Tennessee, and they used to go to Peabody Auditorium. Remember, Mom? Can you hear me? She wasn't asleep. I know when she's asleep, she wasn't asleep. We used to go to these country western shows, you know, and they'd have famous country western guys get there and sing. And they'd sing all kinds of crying your beer type songs, you know. D-I-V-O-R-C. Well, that's a happy song. I mean, it's good music, good country music. But at the end of every one of these country western shows, as well as at the Grand Ole Opry, they all got spiritual, and they always sang a gospel song. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Every show, they ended with a gospel song. Yeah, why me, Lord? Anyway, so, you know, I wondered about that. I thought, man, that's kind of hypocritical, isn't it? You talk about divorce and run around on your wife and your husband and girlfriend, all, you know, and then I thought, no, not now. This week I thought about that, and I thought, no, that's God showing up. Yep. He wasn't intimidated by the songs or the atmosphere or what people do. He shows up. He's everywhere. And He would show up. He would just show up. One time, I told some of you this before, I was called to the funeral home to go do a funeral for a man I didn't know, And they just asked for a pastor to come say a few words, you know. So I said, okay, I'll come. And so when I got there, the funeral director pulled me aside and said, Pastor, this guy was a really hard case. He was a tough biker, a drug addict. He died from a drug overdose. And, you know, all these people here, they're bikers and they're a rough-looking crowd. And, you know, some of them, who we don't know what they're doing. And they want, the family requested that they have his favorite song played. I said, fine. What did he says? You may not want to do this. If you don't, I understand. They want to play Highway to Hell. I said, really? I'd heard it, you know. It's a, kind of a hard rock song. Highway to Hell. You know, that's about all I could hear. Screaming. And by the grace of God, at that moment, I had the presence of the awareness of God had me on an assignment. I said, go ahead. Let him play it. And it was a song before I get up and preach, you know. So that's great. So I'm sitting up there in that little chair, you know, behind the pulpit, looking all spiritual and everything, and listening to, and he's screaming, you know. Wow. And God just spoke to me through that. He said, that's what you need to tell them. That's right. And so by the grace of God, I got up and said, did you hear the words of that awesome song? And they're all going, yeah. Highway to Hell. Wow, and I don't remember everything I said, but I talked to them about there is a highway to hell. But there's a highway to heaven. Man, why would you want to stay on the highway to hell? You think hell's going to be a party and all your friends. You say, you're deceived. That's not true. So I got to preach to God. I turned it around. God turned it around. I was able to preach the gospel. So I want to say that to you. God's everywhere. You just got to look for him. And I heard God basically screaming through that song, Highway to Hell. It was God screaming it. I want you to tell them they're on the highway to hell. I want you to tell them. Tell them. So now you can go out and listen to Highway to Hell and say, next week, Michelle, we need to have that song right here. You need to pray for me, brother.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
Oh, help me.
Bless him, Lord.
Help me.
Help him, Lord. In the name of
Jesus. Get his mind.
Get his mind right.
Get his mind right.
That's it. So his heart will get right.
I agree.
It's my son, folks.
Yep.
You can't do that.
That's right. He's pop. Mom and pop. We joke about that. We went out to a restaurant one time. Before they got there, we told the waiter, so we'll get some very special dinner for our mom and dad, Pam and I, and they're coming in. And they'll come in just a moment. So when you know, if you see them, we'll wave to them, but you escort them over to the table, you know, whatever, something like that. And, of course, we're sitting down at a table watching to see how the waiter's going to respond, you know. So they come in, hey, mom and dad, we're right over here. Come on over. Oh, so we hug and everything, and they're looking like, it was fun. God's everywhere present. He wants you to know that. And he wants you to enjoy him and look for him, listen for him wherever you go. So we're going to have prayer. And I'm going to ask God to help you start paying attention and look in the mirror or ask your spouse or ask your best friend or somebody, tell me, what does love look like on me? Have you ever seen the love of God upon me? What is it? How do I look different? How do I live differently? And hopefully you and I will start maturing more toward that's what love looks like on you. It's really pretty. It's really beautiful. It's the best you you'll ever be. Why would you want to look like this when you can look like that? Amen. Right? Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for your love. And may you have the freedom to make changes in our lives so that your love can be expressed in us, on us, and through us to somebody who needs to see Jesus. Our neighbor, a family member, a co-worker. May they quit seeing us and may they begin to notice the love of God for them. Now, Lord, if there's anybody here who's never been born again of the Spirit of God, would you just prompt their hearts to feel drawn to come to this altar, talk to me or talk to any one of our elders or workers here, and say, I need to be born of the Spirit of God. I believe in God, but that's not enough. You must be born again. So help them to come forward and receive Jesus. And anybody else who needs anything from you, may they have the freedom without fear to come forward and ask for prayer. And we thank you, God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.